Hey everyone, welcome back to the Period Chats podcast. This is a podcast where we talk about all things menstrual cycle, women's health, wellness, nutrition, and more. I'm your host, Kate Morton. I'm a registered dietitian. I've got a master's degree in human clinical nutrition, and I'm also the founder of Funk It Wellness. So thank you for bearing with me over the break. We took a nice 2 weeks off. I was home with family, so I appreciate the time off, but I'm excited to be back with the highest voted episode. I polled you guys at the end of last year. What did you want to learn about? And you all said cortisol. So we're going to be talking all about cortisol. What is it? Is it good? Is it bad? Should it be high? Should it be low? How's it deal with your hormones? How can I support it? We're literally going to be all in on cortisol today. So first off, what is cortisol? It's been a big buzzword, especially towards the end of last year. I heard a lot of people talking about it, which was interesting because I talk with my clients a lot about it and I studied it a lot in school, but a lot of people don't actually know what it is. So cortisol is your stress hormone that's released from your adrenal gland. Cortisol helps your body do things like wake up in the morning after you've been asleep, but it also helps you navigate stressful fight or flight situations like running from a lion forever ago when we were living outside. So that leads us to ask, okay, so it does some good things. It can help us get out of stressful situations, but what's going on with it on the day-to-day? And the thing is, the question, is cortisol bad? I get asked all the time. The short answer is no, cortisol is not bad. You have to have cortisol. Like I said, it's so important for keeping you awake, alert, engaged. Like cortisol is an important hormone in the body, but the problem is the way we live our lives today, our body is a lot of times in that fight or flight response constantly with stress stimuli, and we haven't quite evolved fast enough to be able to tell the difference between, oh, that was just like a stressful conversation at work, or someone tapped their brakes in front of me in the car, to I am legitimately running for my life. And so really, we have to train our bodies to really, and our minds, really our minds, to hone in and to really get cortisol under control. And to share a little personal story with you guys, you know, I had an insane health journey last year and I knew my cortisol was high and I have Hashimoto's, which is a thyroid autoimmune disease. And I could just tell by how puffy my face had gotten that my cortisol was really high. And sure enough, I did the blood cortisol test, which you do in the morning, which we're going to talk more about. And I've done saliva and urine tests and it came back off of the charts. And so I've spent the whole past 12 months reducing my cortisol, working on stress, and we're going to get into it. So like I said, cortisol is not bad. The problem just lies in our bodies not being able to tell in our minds, not being able to tell the difference between a stressor that is life-saving and we really need to get out of that situation and the stress that we're encountering on a day-to-day basis. And so basically what happens is when our body is constantly pumping out cortisol because we are just stressed all the time. And stress is not just like how we traditionally think about it. It can be like a bad night's sleep. It can be a bad day. It can be toxic people in our lives. It can be over-exercising. It can be fasting. I hate to break it to everybody, but if you've listened to our episode on intermittent fasting where we actually looked at the research, if you have a menstrual cycle, intermittent fasting causes your cortisol to go up. So it is not your friend. Low carb diets cause cortisol to go up. Extreme calorie restriction causes cortisol to go up. So there's all these different things that can cause our stress hormones to rise. So it's not just having a bad day. And really where it lies is when we're having this chronic stress day in, day out, we are fatiguing our adrenal glands, which is such an underrated part of hormone health, is this cortisol piece, which we're going to get into. But I wanted to explain to you all, what does high cortisol look and feel like? Because I am a trained healthcare professional. I am very good at my job. And I had a really hard time pinpointing this in myself because I didn't want to deal with it because I thought that living on my stress hormones, and yes, you can be addicted to living on your stress hormones. I thought that living on my stress hormones was just how I had to be good at my job, to be a founder, to show up in the world. I thought I had to be stressed all the time. And I'm here to tell you, one, that's not true. But two, if you can relate with any of the things I'm about to say, it might be a good idea to start looking at your cortisol. So one, increased anxiety and mood swings. So high cortisol can disrupt our neurotransmitters and the balance in our brains, leading to heightened anxiety, irritability, and mood swings. And it's how I can describe it is that real on edge feeling, heightened stress response. Also, like if you're just jumpy too, like your nervous system's unregulated, you're jumpy, your anxiety's high, you feel like you're flipping on and off a switch, like you can just fly off the handle. That can be a sign of high cortisol. The next is sleep disturbances, which is interesting because, like we said, not sleeping enough, not getting a good night's sleep can lead to having higher cortisol, like higher than we need. And then it's this vicious cycle. I was waking up about 4 times a night. But one thing that is very, I would say, like pinpointed for high cortisol is if you're waking up around 2-3 in the morning consistently, that can be high cortisol and stress hormones. Your body, it's like your cortisol is peaking too early. You're not getting that long good night's sleep. The next one is changes in appetite and weight gain. So this can be like if you feel like you've gained weight overnight or you just feel like you're having really intense cravings. It might have nothing to do with weight gain, but really intense cravings, wanting high fat food, high sugar food, really, really wanting those comfort foods. That can be high cortisol because our body is trying to regulate and comfort and self-soothe. And so that's not in your head. That's a real response to having high cortisol. And I definitely felt that last year, my food cravings, I had never experienced anything like it. Fatigue and decreased energy levels. So if you're feeling restless, but then you also can't sleep, but then you're also always tired and it's this big vicious circle and you just have no energy, this can be emotional energy, physical energy. I experienced honestly zero of both when my cortisol was really high. And I just honestly didn't care. I was just like, I'm so tired. All I want to do is go to sleep. Even when I was getting enough sleep, I wasn't feeling good. The next is we're going to go into like some specific physical symptoms. So this is if we're having high cortisol for extended periods of time. This can lead to high blood pressure, headaches, muscle weaknesses, and lowered immune system. And it can also worsen any GI problems, bloating, specifically diarrhea, constipation, and any pre-existing heart conditions. So, you know, those stress symptoms could also be causing bloating. And I noticed that too. So even on my Oura Ring, it can track when stress is getting higher. And having high stress and having high cortisol are not always one in one. Like you need to test and figure out. For me, they were. I could feel it. And that's like a lot of my bloating symptoms would really increase. That's why when I was fasting, if I would ever fast, I would have more bloating and all these other issues that come with it. It was my cortisol just was so out of control. So one, if you related to anything I just said, it's good to like pause, put a pin in this and really actually look into this. Dutch testing is one of the biggest ways I recommend checking cortisol. We're going to get into the 3 different ways, but I'm going to put a link in here. If you do want to do Dutch testing, I'm taking a couple one-on-one clients. I'm almost booked up, but I can also, if I can't help you, I can help you another provider. You find another provider that can work with you to get that testing done. So cortisol and hormones, what's the connection? If you've been around for a while, you know that everything is connected, from our brain health to our gut health to our mental health to our hormone health to our thyroid health. Everything is holistically connected. So one, high cortisol or cortisol being out of balance can lead to thyroid dysfunction and impacting the thyroid. I definitely saw that. That's also why a lot of people who have Hashimoto's also have high cortisol. I've done a ton of research. I can't pinpoint which one comes first, but they do seem to come hand in hand. Some of the research I read recently would suggest that that stress and high cortisol might actually be what is the kickoff point for thyroid problems, but it's still a lot of things with autoimmune diseases are just still very unknown and all of them are very different, but we do know stress can cause flares. So there is definitely something there. So high cortisol can interfere with your thyroid hormone production and metabolism. So it can inhibit the conversion of T4 to the more active T3. And this can lead to symptoms of hypothyroidism, even if all of your levels are appearing normal. So this is why it's really important to look at antibodies, look at cortisol when we're also looking at T3 and T4. Next, cortisol can actually disrupt the balance of sex hormones like estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone. So this can lead to irregular menstrual cycles, difficulties with ovulation, infertility in women and in men. Decreased testosterone levels can also affect libido and erectile dysfunction. So cortisol plays a big, big role in our reproductive hormones. It also interferes with blood sugar. So elevated cortisol can lead to increased blood sugar levels and reduced insulin sensitivity. But on the flip side of that, if you are also fasting and you have a low blood sugar levels, it can lead to high cortisol. So your body is stressed. It thinks we need food. It's trying to really get some sources to the body. It's sending signals, but there's no food there. And so that's why it can raise our insulin levels in trying to raise our blood glucose levels. So it's very connected. So you just have to be careful because you don't want to be on the blood sugar or cortisol roller coaster. They're very, very intertwined. High cortisol can also suppress the immune system, which this is really interesting to me because especially with the research I've been doing on stress and autoimmune, but there is some research indicating that high cortisol interferes with the immune system. We're not quite sure on which side, but high stress levels, decreased immunity, this makes sense. Osteoporosis risk. So if you are chronically high in cortisol, there is some early indicators that this could put you at a greater risk for lower bone density and osteoporosis. And then mental health. Having extreme stress, mood swings, anxiety, all of these things can really, really decrease our mental well-being. And I think it's one of those things that we finally know enough that our brain health and our mental health are one of the biggest indicators of our physical health. So, you know, we're going to go through some tips at the end, but really it all plays in together that if we are having high cortisol, high stress, it's going to trickle down and impact pretty much every system in our body. So now we know what cortisol is, what it feels like when your cortisol is high, what are the connections with cortisol and hormones? And then next, how do you test cortisol? Because this is always the next question. It's like, okay, well, how do I know? Some of these things sound like I might be experiencing them, but how do I know? There's three different ways. There's a blood test, a urine test, and a saliva test. The blood test, if you do this, it's just looking at one snapshot in time, which not saying that's not important information. I think it's part of a bigger picture. You need to go in the morning and you need to be fasted. So you need to talk with your doctor to get it at the right snapshot in time. Urine test. So this is kind of you collect your pee and you do this over 24 hours to look at your cortisol patterns throughout the entire day. In my opinion, this is going to get you the best indicator of how you're metabolizing cortisol. And I think it's really important that we look at those two together. Was cortisol really high in the morning when we were fasted? How did it compare and pan out throughout the entire day? And then a saliva test is going to be similar. So you're collecting saliva over a 24-hour period, and then we're looking at cortisol throughout the entire day. So I personally, Dutch testing looks, it takes the urine and saliva and looks at cortisol over the entire 24 hours. So that's my gold standard, but a lot of insurances still do cover the blood test too. So I think it's great for us to kind of get all the data and compare. So I used both the blood test and the Dutch test because sometimes you can go get the blood test done. It can come back really high or really low, and it doesn't give you the full picture. For me, unfortunately, mine was really high on the blood test and really high on the Dutch test. So I was like, all right, I've got some work to do. I'll put the link in here for more info on Dutch testing if anyone's interested. And then I'm going to give you guys, so I don't want this just to be like a doomsday episode of like the world's stressful, cortisol's high, everything's bad. No, I'm going to give you some tips. And I try to put tips in that anybody we can do like right away. You don't have to order a supplement. You don't have to do any of these things. It's things that we can already do at home. And here's five things I've been doing over the past year. And my cortisol levels, I can tell you guys, are within the normal range now. Everything is back to where it should be. And really, so much of what I did was, well, one, I found out I had Hashimoto's, so I'm on thyroid medication. But my doctor's really, like, her biggest recs for me were all about slowing down. And so one, I try to do a sunrise morning walk about four times a week. So and then when I don't do that, I do try to wake up with the sun. So not set alarm and leave the windows open. How I do this is I just put a little calendar block on to not have anyone be able to book a meeting before 8 a.m. I know that's not doable for everybody, but maybe you can talk with your work or your boss about it, because, you know, it's like, it's nice to be able to wake up with the sun. So I try to wake up with the sun or get up early and do a sunrise morning walk. Being outside while the sun's coming up and going down is really important for our circadian rhythm and kind of getting our brains in the right headspace. With that, I also don't use my phone for the first 60 minutes of the day. So that's been huge for me, because I've noticed on my Oura Ring, I can see the days I'm really stressed are when I immediately jump on my phone and the stress stays high throughout the entire day. If I do my walk and take those 60 minutes not on the phone, it's night and day. I don't even barely get above the stress limit on the Oura Ring. Next is sticking to a sleep time routine. So 8 hours of high quality sleep every single night is just a non-negotiable for me at this point, because I feel so much better. And this is when our bodies can really repair. And again, when I say high quality sleep, it's like, are you sleeping through the night? Do you feel rested in the morning? And what that comes back to me is limiting screen time before bed, not eating or drinking 2 hours before bed. And really, I put my phone on airplane mode and just try to tune out as much as I can, because that sleep time routine helps me get the high quality sleep. Because I did not used to be a good sleeper. For the first 3 years I had Funkit, I honestly never slept and was tired all the time. And my cortisol got really high, and here we are. So daily mindfulness practice, this is probably the one I struggle with the most. I am not a journal girly. I want to be, but I'm not. And meditation's always been tricky for me, but I have found I just type in like 5 minute meditation on YouTube. There are so many good 5 minute meditations. And I heard on a podcast, I think it was Liz Moody's podcast, about meditation, that you can't really be bad at it. Cause I was like, oh, I'm bad at it. No, it's like little reps. Like if you're doing like curls at the gym or like sprints or whatever, if your mind wanders and you pull your mind back, that's like one rep. That's one, like, okay, you practice that one time. So I do a 5 minute meditation. I don't do it every morning. I try to do all these things at least four times a week, because that means I did it most days. It doesn't happen every morning, but it really does help. No caffeine on an empty stomach. And honestly, for me, guys, it's been limiting caffeine in general. If you follow me on Instagram, you know my saga with coffee. It is like a love affair that doesn't love me back. I love coffee. It doesn't love my body. And so switching to matcha and getting 30 grams of protein in me before I ever have caffeine has been a game changer. Because I would accidentally intermittent fast, because I would get up, get on my phone, get working, get busy. Then I'd look up and be like, oh my gosh, I'm starving and I've had two cups of coffee and now I'm like running on adrenaline. And well, sometimes that can feel good. It can't last for forever. Like I do love that unstoppable feeling, but like eventually your body's going to crash. Mine crashed real hard. So now we have slow mornings with 30 grams of protein and then a matcha. And keeping your blood sugar balanced, it's like, it ties into the point I said before about the caffeine on an empty stomach, but keeping your body fed and your blood sugar balanced is the biggest act of self-love and the biggest way to help with cortisol, because really, like, keeping your body fed and happy is so underrated. And I know days get busy. I know it can be hard to pack snacks. I know sometimes you're packing everyone else's lunch and you might forget about yours, but your like body deserves to be fed. And I found for a long time, I have had a really hard time taking care of myself, just like being vulnerable with you all. Like, it's not something that comes naturally to me. I'm really great at telling everyone else all the things that are so good for you. And I love reading the research and understanding where these things are coming from, but I have a hard time actually doing them for myself. And keeping my blood sugar balanced and my body fed is the biggest act of self-love I can ever give myself. And so I want you all to have that too. So those are all the things I've been doing. I mean, I also have played with sauna and cold plunge, which I love. If you're on my newsletter list, you know that I did a whole hot and cold breakdown of my routine. That's not something I do all the time because it can get expensive. So I can't do it all the time. But I do love that if you have access to it. And additionally, it's like getting to the root cause of why your cortisol is high. Like for me, I could have done all these things. And if I would have never known I had a thyroid issue, I mean, they wouldn't have worked. They might have helped, but I needed to be on medication. So all that to say, like, get to the root cause, get in there, but then also try these tips that we can do at home. And I had to start eating animal protein again to get to really get my protein goals in. And for me personally, it's really helped, but to each their own. Like if you can get all this protein in from a plant-based source, I also can't have soy with an autoimmune disease. It's something that my doctor doesn't recommend for me. And so that was tricky, but honestly, at this point, I'm just on a tangent. Anyways, get to the root cause of why your cortisol is high, but then you can also try some of these mindfulness practices. And my biggest quote I want to tell you guys, I just got asked, like, what's your favorite quote? And I think it's really, really relevant because I think high cortisol can be so tied to hustle culture and this like need to be perfect and to strive and to be successful. And like, I'm here to tell you what's meant for you won't miss you. I don't like everything happens for a reason. I don't actually think that's true, but I think what's meant for you won't miss you. And so it's okay to slow down. It's okay to enjoy a sunrise walk. It's okay to get enough sleep. It's okay to take time to feed your body. It's okay to give yourself 5 minutes to meditate. And it is okay to say no, like if you can't do it. So in this season of all these new things we want to add, just make sure also like what's meant for you won't miss you. You don't have to be everywhere at once. Like you are going to do amazing things and you can slow down and still do all of those things. Or, you know, if you want to do none of those things, that's also fine too. Like I think it's kind of ridiculous. We're all expected to want the same things. So this podcast is just getting a little ranty. So I'm going to move on. I'm just really passionate about this and everybody knowing like high cortisol is a real thing. It really does suck. Adrenal fatigue is real. I experienced it last year and nothing is worth like your peace and your health. So key. And we have a lot of amazing guests coming on throughout January and February that are really about mindfulness and slowing down and getting in tune. Cause obviously I've experienced this over the past year. So there's that. And then I wanted to leave you guys with, if you have hung on this long, you are getting a treat. It is my favorite cortisol soothing mocktail. If you listen for a while too, you also know I didn't drink for 12 months and I've mindfully added alcohol back in, but I am still a mocktail girly to my core. I think I actually prefer them. Red wine, I do love. Mocktails, I love more. So this is going to be 1 cup of chamomile tea. I do brew mine hot and then I put it in a big pitcher and let it cool down so I can have it throughout the week. Freshly grated ginger, 1 small piece, about 1 inch. Lemon juice, 2 tablespoons. And so the chamomile is calming and soothing. Ginger helps with inflammation and soothing as well. Vitamin C in the lemon is great for supporting our cortisol. We're going to do 1 teaspoon of honey. This is a natural sweetener, but I also like to get local honeys just to really add those different properties from where you're from. And then you can add some mint in there, which helps with digestion, and then top it off with sparkling water. I don't add ice to any of my drinks because I'm a weirdo, but you can totally add ice if you want. That's also on here. So I'll put the soothing mocktail I'll put in the show notes, and it's also going to be in the newsletter this week. And so if you've listened to this podcast and you want more, make sure to subscribe to my newsletter because that's where you get all this info in written form on a monthly basis. And then say hi to me on Instagram at Carbs and Kate. And then if you want to work with me, I'll also put the link in there. I am taking one-on-one nutrition clients again. So I would love to see you. So here's everything on cortisol that I have to offer for you all. And I hope this was helpful and let me know, share this with someone if you think they may be experiencing this. I honestly just think so many of us these days the slowing down is like the hardest thing in the world to do. So share this with a friend that you think could benefit, and then leave us a review. Let us know what you think. And I just looked at the video and it's gotten so dark. Well, I've been just on my soapbox over here. So the video is not going to be the best. Might not post the video, but thank you guys for tuning in. And I will see you again next week, and we'll have an amazing guest on.